Balder moved forward instantly, and Grimm found himself the uncomfortable focus of two pairs of intense blue eyes. Ronan and Balder exchanged a glance of astonishment.
"That's why you never came home?" Ronan said carefully.
Grimm breathed deeply. Questions exploded from him, and now that he'd begun asking, he thought he might never stop.
"How did I get brown eyes to begin with? How come you're both berserkers, too?"
"Aw, you really are dense, aren't you?" Balder snorted. "Come on, can't you put two and two together, lad?"
Every muscle in Grimm's body spasmed. Thousands of questions collided with hundreds of suspicions and dozens of suppressed memories, and it all coalesced into the unthinkable.
"Is someone else my father?" he demanded.
Ronan and Balder watched him, shaking their heads.
"Well, then, why did you kill my mother?"
he roared.
"And don't be telling me we're born this way. You may have been born crazy enough to kill your wife, but I'm not."
Ronan's face stiffened with fury.
"I cannot believe you think I killed Jolyn. I found you over her body," Grimm persisted. "You were holding the knife."
"I removed it from her heart,"
Ronan gritted.
"Why would I kill the only woman I ever loved? How could you, of all people, possibly think I could kill my true mate? Could you kill Jillian? Even in the midst of Berserker Gang, could you kill her?"
"Never!"
Grimm thundered the word.
"Then you realize you misunderstood.
You lunged for me. I would have been next."
"You are my son,"
Ronan breathed.
"I needed you. I needed to touch you, to know you were alive, to reassure myself that the McCain hadn't gotten you too."
Grimm stared at him blankly.
"The McCain? Are you telling me the McCain killed Mother?" "The McCain didn't even attack until sundown. Mother died in the morning."
Ronan regarded him with a mixture of amazement and anger.
"The McCain had been waiting in the hills all day. They had a spy among us and had discovered Jolyn was pregnant again."
A look of horror crossed Grimm's face.
"Mother was pregnant?"
Ronan rubbed his eyes.
"Aye. We thought she wouldn't bear more children. It was unexpected. She hadn't gotten pregnant since you, and that had been nearly 15 years. It would have been a late child, but we were so looking forward to having another."
Ronan broke off abruptly. He swallowed several times.
"I lost everything in one day," he said, his eyes glittering brightly. "And all these years, I thought you wouldn't come home because you didn't understand what you were. I despised myself for having failed you. I thought you hated me for making you what you are and for not being there to teach you how to deal with it. I spent years fighting my urge to come after you and claim you as my son, to prevent the McCain from tracking you. You'd managed to pretty effectively disappear, and now I discover that all these years I've been watching you, waiting for you to come home. You were hating me. You were out there thinking I killed Jolyn."
Ronan turned away bitterly.
"The McCain killed my mother?"
Grimm whispered.
"Why would they care if she was pregnant?"
Ronan shook his head and looked at Balder.
"How did I raise a son who was so thick-headed?"
Balder shrugged and rolled his eyes.
"You still don't get it, do you, Gavril? What I was trying to tell you all those years ago. We, the MacIliac men, we're born berserk. Any son born of the Laird's direct line is a berserker. The McCain have hunted us for 1,000 years. They know our legends nearly as well as we do. The prophecy was that we would be virtually destroyed, whittled down to 3.
He waved his arms in a gesture that encompassed the 3 of them.
"But one lad would return home, brought by his true mate, and destroy the McCain. The MacIliac would become mightier than ever before. You are that lad.
Born berserk?
Grim stuttered.
Yes,
both men responded in a single breath.
But I turned into one,
Grim floundered.
Up on Votan's cleft, I called on Odin.
Ronan shook his head.
It just seemed that way. It was first blood in battle that brought the berserker out. Normally our sons do not turn until 16. First battle accelerated your change.
Grim sank to a seat on the wall and buried his face in his hands.
Why did you never tell me what I was before I changed? Son, it's not like we hid it from you. We started telling you the legends at a young age. You were entranced, remember?
Ronan broke off and laughed.
Aye, I recall you running around trying to become a berserker for years. We were pleased you welcomed your heritage with such open arms. Go. Go look in the blasted Hall of Lords, Gavril. Grim.
Grim corrected stubbornly, holding on to some part of his identity. Any part. Ronan continued as if he hadn't been interrupted.
There are ceremonies we hold, when we pass on the secrets and teach our sons to deal with the berserker rage. Your time was approaching, but suddenly the McCain attacked. I lost Jolin, and you left, never once looking west to Maldaban, to me. And now I know you were hating me, accusing me of the most vile thing a man could do.
We train our sons, Gavril, Balder said. Intense discipline, mental, emotional, and physical training. We instruct them to command the berserker, not be commanded by it. You missed that training. Yet I must say that even on your own you did well. Without any training, without any understanding of your nature, you remained honorable and have grown into a fine berserker. Don't be thrashing yourself for seeing things at 14 with the half-opened eyes of a 14-year-old.
So, I'm supposed to repopulate Maldaban with berserkers?
Grim suddenly fixated on Ronan's words about the prophecy.
It's been foretold in the Hall of Lords. But Jillian doesn't know what I am,
Grim said despairingly.
And any son she has will be just like me. We can never...
He was unable to finish the thought aloud.
She's stronger than you think she is, lad,
Ronan replied.
Trust in her. Together you can learn about our heritage. It is an honor to be a berserker, not a curse. Most of Alba's greatest heroes have been our kind.
Grim was silent a long time, trying to recolor 15 years of thinking.
The McCain are coming,
he said finally, latching on to one solid fact in an internal landscape deluged by intangibles. Both men's eyes flew to the surrounding mountains.
Did you see something move on the mountains? No. They've been following me. They've tried 3 times now to take me. They've been on our heels since we left Caithness.
Wonderful!
Balder rubbed his hands together in gleeful anticipation. Ronan looked delighted.
How far behind you were they?
I suspect scarcely a day.
So they'll be here any time. Lad, you must go find Jillian. Take her to the heart of the castle and explain. Trust her. Give her the chance to work through things. If you had known the truth years ago, would 15 years have been wasted?
She'll hate me when she discovers what I am,
Grim said bitterly.
Are you as certain of that as you were that I killed Jolin?
Ronan asked pointedly. Grim's eyes flew to his.
I'm no longer certain of anything,
he said bleakly.
You're certain you love her, lad,
Ronan said.
And I'm certain she's your mate. Never has one of our true mates rejected our heritage. Never.
Grim nodded and turned for the castle.
Be certain she stays in the castle, Gavril,
Ronan called to his back.
We cannot risk her in battle.
After Grim had disappeared into Maldaban, Balder smiled.
He didn't try to correct you when you called him Gavril.
Ronan's smile was joyous.
I noticed, he said.
Prepare the villagers, Baldur, and I'll rouse the guards. We put an end to the feuding today. All of it.
Chapter 33. It was early afternoon when Gillian finally rose to her feet in the Hall of Lords. A sense of peace enveloped her as she laid the last of her questions to rest. Suddenly, so many things she'd overheard her brothers and Quinn saying when Grimm had been in residence made sense, and upon reflection, she suspected a part of her had always known. Her love was a legendary warrior who had grown to despise himself, cut off from his roots. But now that he was home and given the time to explore those roots, he might be able to make peace with himself at long last. She strolled the hall a final time, not missing the radiant expressions of the MacIliac brides. She stood for a long moment beneath the portrait of Grimm and his parents. Jolyn had been a chestnut-haired beauty. Love radiated from her patient smile. Ronan was gazing adoringly at her. In the portrait, Grimm was kneeling before his seated parents, looking like the happiest brown-eyed boy in the world. Her hands moved to her belly in a timeless feminine celebration, as she wondered what it would be like to bring another boy like Grimm into the world. How proud she would be! And together with Grimm, Baldur, and Ronan, they would teach him what he could be, and how special he was, one of Alba's own private warriors.
"Och, lass, tell me you're not breeding,"
a voice filled with loathing spat. Gillian's scream ricocheted off the cold stone walls as Ramsay Logan's hand closed on her shoulder in a painful, vice-like grip.
"I can't find her," Grimm said tightly.
Ronan and Baldur turned as one when he stormed into the Great Hall. The guards were ready. The villagers had been roused, and to the last man, Tuluth was prepared to fight the McCain.
"Did you check the Hall of Lords?"
"Aye. A brief glance enough to assure myself she wasn't there."
If he'd looked longer, he might have never dragged himself back out. So fascinated was he by his previously unknown heritage.
"Did you search the whole castle?"
"Aye."
He buried his hands in his hair, voicing his worst fear.
"Is it possible the McCain got in here and took her somehow?"
Ronan expelled a gust of air.
"Anything's possible, lad. There were deliveries from the village this afternoon. Hell, anyone could have sneaked in with them. We've grown a bit lax in 15 years of peace."
A sudden cry from the guardhouse compelled their instant attention.
"The McCain are coming!"
Connor McCain rode into the vale waving a flag of Douglas plaid, which, while it confused most of the MacIliac, filled Grimm with rage and fear. The only piece of Douglas plaid a McCain could have obtained was the one from Gillian's body. She'd worn the blue and gray fabric at breakfast only this morning. The villagers were bristling to fight, eager to demand satisfaction for the loss of their loved ones 15 years past. As Ronan prepared to order them forward, Grimm laid a restraining hand on his arm.
"They have Gillian,"
he said in a voice that sounded like death.
"How can you be sure?"
Ronan's gaze flew to his.
"That's my plaid they're waving. Gillian was wearing it at breakfast."
Ronan closed his eyes.
"Not again," he whispered. "Not again."
When he opened his eyes, they burned with the inner fire of determination.
"We won't lose her, lad. Bring the McCain Laird forward,"
he commanded the guard. The MacIliac troops emanated hostility, but drew back to permit his approach. When Connor McCain drew up in front of Ronan, he scowled.
"I knew you'd heal from the battle axe, you devil, but I didn't think you'd recover so well from me killing your pretty whore of a wife."
Connor bared his teeth in a smile.
"And your unborn child."
Although Ronan's hand fisted around his claymore, he didn't free the sword.
"Let the lass go, McCain. She has nothing to do with us. The lass." nae be breeding.
Grim went rigid on Occam's back. She's not, he countered coolly. Surely she would have told him. Connor McCain searched his face intently.
That's what she says. But I don't trust either of you.
Where is she?
Grim demanded.
Safe?
Take me, Connor. Take me in her stead,
Ronan offered, stunning Grim.
You, old man,
Connor spat.
You're not a threat anymore. We saw to that years ago. You won't be having any more sons. Now him,
he pointed to Grim,
he's a problem. Our spies tell us he is the last living berserker, and a woman who may or may not be pregnant is his mate.
What do you want from me?
Grim said quietly.
Your life,
the McCain said simply.
To see the last of the MacIliac die is all I've ever wanted.
We're not the monsters you think we are,
Ronan glowered at the McCain chieftain.
You're pagans, heathens, blasphemers to the one true religion.
You're hardly one to judge,
Ronan exclaimed.
Dinna think to debate the Lord's word with me, MacIliac. The voice of Satan will not tempt me from God's course.
Ronan's lip drew back in a snarl.
When man thinks he knows God's course better than God himself, is when hundreds die.
Free Gillian, and you may have my life,
Grim interrupted.
But she goes free. You will entrust her to...
Grim glanced at Ronan.
My da.
He tried to meet Ronan's gaze when he named him his sire, but couldn't.
I dinna recover you to lose you again, lad,
Ronan muttered harshly.
What a touching reunion,
Connor remarked dryly.
But lose him you will, and if you want her, Gavro MacIliac, last of the berserkers, free her yourself. She's up there,
he pointed to Votan's cleft.
In the caves.
Horrified, Grim scanned the jagged face of the cliff.
Where in the caves?
Dread filled him at the thought of Gillian wandering in the darkness, skirting dangers she couldn't even know were there. Collapsed tunnels, rock slides, dangerous pits.
Find her yourself.
How do I know this isn't a trap?
Grim's eyes glittered dangerously.
You don't,
the McCain said flatly.
But if she is in there, it's very dark. And there are a lot of dangerous chasms. Besides, what would I gain by sending you off into the caves?
They could be set to explode, Grim said tightly.
Then I guess you better get her out fast, MacIliac,
the McCain provoked. Ronan shook his head.
We need proof that she's in there, and alive.
Connor dispatched a guard with a low rush of words. Some time later, that proof was offered. Gillian's piercing scream ripped through the tense air of the valley. Ronan watched in silence as Grim climbed the rocky pass to Votan's cleft. Balder was far back in the ranks, his features concealed by a heavy cloak to prevent the McCain from realizing there was yet another unmated berserker still alive. Ronan had insisted they not reveal his existence unless it was necessary to save lives. From different vantages, the brothers admired the young man mounting the cleft. He'd left Occam behind and was scaling the sheer face of the cliff with a skill and ease that revealed the preternatural prowess of the berserker. After years of hiding what he was, he now flaunted his superiority to the enemy. He was a warrior, at one with the beast, born to survive and endure. When he topped the cliff and disappeared over the edge, the two clans sat their horses in battle lines, staring across the space that separated them with hatred so palpable it hung in the air as thick and oppressive as the smoke that had filled the Vale 15 years past. Until Gillian and Grim, or God forbid, a McCain, topped the edge of the cliff, neither side would move. The McCain hadn't come to Tuluth to lose any more of their clan. They'd come to take Gavril and eliminate the last of the berserkers. The MacIliac didn't move out of fear for Jillian. The time stretched painfully. Grim entered the tunnel silently. His every instinct demanded he bellow for Jillian, but that would only alert whoever was holding her to his presence. The memory of her terrible scream both chilled his blood and made it boil for vengeance. He eased into the tunnel, gliding with the silent stealth of a mountain cat, sniffing the air like a wolf. All his animal instincts roused with chill, predatory perfection. Somewhere torches were burning. The scent was unmistakable. He followed the odor down twisting corridors, his hands outstretched in the darkness. Although the interior of the tunnels was pitch black, his heightened vision enabled him to discern the slope of the floor. Skirting deep pits and ducking beneath crumbling ceilings, he navigated the musty tunnels, following the scent. He rounded a bend where the tunnel opened into a long, straight corridor, and there she was, her golden hair gleaming in the torchlight.
"Stop right there," Ramsay Logan warned, "or she dies."
It was a vision from one of his worst nightmares. Ramsay had Jillian at the end of the tunnel. He'd gagged and bound her. She was wearing the McCain tartan, and the sight of it on her body filled him with fury. The question of who had stripped and reclothed her tortured him. He assessed her quickly, assuring himself that whatever had made her scream had not drawn blood or left visible sign of injury. The blade Logan was holding to her throat had not pierced her delicate skin. Yet.
"Ramsay Logan."
Grim gave him a chilling smile.
"Not surprised to see me, eh, Roderick? Or should I say, McKilliak?"
He spat the name as if he'd found a foul thing lying on his tongue.
"No, I can't say I'm surprised."
Grim moved stealthily nearer.
"I always knew what kind of man you are."
"I said stop, you bastard. I won't hesitate to kill her."
"And then what would you do?"
Grim countered, but drew to a halt.
"You'll never make it past me. So what would killing Jillian accomplish?"
"I'd get the pleasure of ridding the world of McKilliak monsters yet to be. And if I don't come out, the McCain will destroy you when you do."
"Let her go.
Release her, and you can have me,"
Grim offered. Jillian thrashed in Ramsay's tight grip, making it clear that she wanted no such thing.
"I'm afraid I can't do that, McKilliak."
Grim said nothing, his eyes murderous. A score of yards lay between them, and Grim wondered if the berserker rage could get him across it and free Jillian before Ramsay could slice with the knife. It was too risky to chance, and Ramsay was counting on that to stay him. But something didn't make sense. What did Logan hope to gain? If he killed Jillian, Ramsay knew Grim would go berserk and rip him to shreds. What was Logan's plan? He began to ask questions, trying to buy precious minutes.
"Why are you doing this, Logan?
I know we've had our disagreements in the past, but they were minor." "It has nothing to do with our disagreements and everything to do with what you are,"
Ramsay sneered.
"You're not human, McKilliak."
Grim closed his eyes, unwilling to see the look of horror he was certain would be on Jillian's face.
"When did you figure it out?"
Keeping Ramsay talking might give him insight into what the bastard wanted. If it was his life and his alone, and he could assure Jillian's safety by giving it, he would gladly die. But if Ramsay planned to kill them both, Grim would die fighting for her.
"I figured it out the day you killed the mountain cat. I was standing in the trees and saw you after you transformed. Hatchard called you by your real name."
Ramsay shook his head in disgust.
"All those years at court, I never knew. Oh, I knew who Gavril McKilliak was. Hell, I think everyone does but your lovely bitch here."
He laughed when Grim stiffened.
"Ha ha ha, careful, or I cut."
"So, you aren't the one who tried to poison me?"
Grim inched forward so gracefully he didn't appear to be moving. Ramsay roared with laughter.
"That was a fine fix. Hell yes, I tried to poison you. Even that backfire, you switched it somehow. But I didn't know you were a berserker then, or I wouldn't have wasted my time."
Grim winced. It was out. But Jillian's face was turned to the side, away from the knife, and he couldn't make out her expression.
No, Ramsay continued, I had no idea. I just wanted you out of the running for Jillian. You see, I need the lass.
I was right. You need her dowry.
Oh, but you don't know the half of it. I'm into Campbell so deeply he's holding the titles to my land. In years past, the Logans hired out as mercenaries, but there haven't been any good wars lately. Do you know when we hired out as mercenaries last? Stop moving! He bellowed.
Grimm stood impassively.
When? 15 years ago. To the McCain, you bastard. And 15 years ago, Gavril MacIlliac killed my da and 3 of my brothers.
Grimm hadn't known. The battle was a blur in his mind, his first berserker rage.
In fair battle. And if your clan hired out, they weren't even fighting for a cause, but murdering for coin. If they were in Tuluth, they were attacking my home and slaughtering my people. You're not people. You're not human.
Jillian's not part of this. Let her go.
It's me you want. She's part of it if she's breeding, MacIlliac. She swears she's not, but I think I'll keep her, just to make sure. The McCain told me a lot about you monsters. I know the boys are born berserkers, but don't change until they get older. A boy slips out of her womb, he's dead. If it's a girl, who knows? I might let it live. She could be a pretty toy.
Grimm finally managed to get a glimpse of Jillian's face. It was drawn into a mask of horror. So it was out. She knew, and it was over. The fear and revulsion he'd glimpsed in his nightmares had indeed been a portent. The fight nearly fled him when he saw it, and would have had she not been in danger. He could die now. He may as well, because inside he already had. But not Jillian. She must live.
She's not pregnant, Ramsay.
Wasn't she? Memories of her sudden nausea at the cottage surfaced in his mind. Of course, Ramsay couldn't know, but the mere possibility of Jillian carrying his child sent a primitive thrill of exultation through Grimm's body. His need to protect her, already all-consuming, became the singular focus of his mind. Ramsay might have the upper hand, but Grimm refused to let him win.
As if you would tell me the truth, Logan scoffed. There's only one way to find out. Besides, whether she is or isn't, she'll still be wedding me. I want the gold she brings as a dowry. Between her and what the McCain pay me, I'll never have to worry about wealth again. Don't worry, I'll keep her alive. So long as she breathes, Gibraltar will do anything to keep her happy, which means an endless supply of coin. You son of a bitch! Just let her go! You want her? Come and get her,
Ramsay taunted. Grimm stepped forward, eyeing the distance. In the instant he hesitated, Ramsay moved the blade, pricking Jillian's skin, and drops of crimson blood fell. The berserker, simmering with rage, erupted. Even as he wondered why Ramsay would dare goad the berserker into appearing, instinct plunged him forward. He had been considering cutting himself to bring on the rage when Ramsay had done it for him. One leap brought him 10 paces forward. He tried to stop, sensing an unknown trap. But the floor of the cave disappeared beneath his feet, and he plunged into a chasm that hadn't existed when he'd played these tunnels as a boy. A chasm deep enough to kill even a berserker.
Good riddance, you bastard!
Ramsay said with a smile. He held the torch above the previously concealed pit, and peered as deep as the flames would permit. He waited a full 5 minutes, but heard no sound. When he'd selected his trap, he'd tossed stones into the chasm to test the depth. None of the stones had yielded a sound, so deep was the aperture yawning into the core of the earth. If Grimm hadn't been ripped to shreds on rocky slag, the fall itself would crush every bone in his body. Skirting the pit, he dragged Jillian from the caves.
It's done! Ramsay Logan cried. The McCain!
He roared. He stood on the edge of Votan's cleft, raised his arm, and bellowed a cry of victory that was instantly echoed by all the McCain. The valley resounded with triumphant thunder. Exuberant, Ramsay released Jillian's hands and removed her gag. He took her mouth in a triumphant, brutal kiss. She stiffened, revolted, and struggled against him. Angered by her resistance, he shoved her away, and Jillian crumpled to her knees.
"Get up, you stupid bitch!"
Ramsay shouted, nudging at her with his foot.
"I said get up!"
He roared again when she responded to his kick by curling into a ball.
"I don't need you right now, anyway,"
he muttered, gazing down at the valley that would be his home. Adulation lay in the valley, a reflection of his mighty conquest. He waved his arm again, elated by the kill. Ramsay Logan had taken a berserker single-handed. His name would live in legends. The chasm was so deep that not even one of Odin's monsters could survive the fall. He'd carefully covered it with thin sheaves of wood, then scattered stone dust atop it. It had been brilliant, if he had to say so himself.
"Brilliant!"
Ramsay informed the knight. Behind Ramsay, Grimm blinked, trying to clear the red haze of bloodlust. A part of his mind that seemed lost down an endless corridor reminded him that he wanted to attack the man standing near the balled-up woman, not the woman herself. The woman was his world. When he sprang, he must be careful, very careful, for even to touch her with the strength of Berserker Gang could kill her. A slight brush of his hand could shatter her jaw. The merest caress of her breast could crush her ribs. To those sitting the horses in the valley below, listening to Ramsay Logan's victory cry, the creature seemed to explode out of the night with such speed it was impossible to identify. A blur of motion surged through the air, grabbed Ramsay Logan by the hair, and neatly severed his head before anyone could so much as shout a warning. Because she was on the ground, the clans gathered below couldn't see Jillian roll over, startled by the slight hissing sound the blade made as it whisked through the air for Ramsay's throat. But the creature on the cliffs saw her move, and he waited for her judgment, resigned to condemnation. It was the worst Jillian might ever see of him, the beast realized. In the full throes of Berserker Gang, he towered over her, his blue eyes blazing incandescently. He was bruised and bloody from a fall that had halted abruptly on a jagged outcropping, and he held Ramsay Logan's severed head in one hand. He stared at her, pumping great gasps of air into his chest, waiting. Would she scream, spit at him, hiss and renounce him? Jillian St. Clair was all he'd ever wanted in his entire life, and as he waited for her to shriek in horror of him, he felt something inside him trying to die. But the berserker wouldn't go down so easily. The wildness in him rose to its full height and stared down at her through vulnerable ice-blue eyes, wordlessly beseeching her love. Jillian raised her head slowly and gazed at him a long, silent moment. She drew herself upright into a sitting position and tilted her head back, her eyes wide. Berserker. The truth he'd struggled so hard to hide hung between them, fully exposed. Although Jillian had known what Grimm was before that moment, she was briefly immobilized by the sight of him. It was one thing to know that the man she loved was a berserker. It was another thing entirely to behold it. He regarded her with such an inhuman expression that if she hadn't peered deep into his eyes, she might have seen nothing of Grimm at all. But there, deep in the flickering blue flames, she glimpsed such love that it rocked her soul. She smiled up at him through her tears. A wounded sound of disbelief escaped him. Jillian gave him the most dazzling smile she could muster and placed her fist to her heart.
"And the daughter, wed the Lion King," she said distinctly.
An expression of incredulity crossed the warrior's face. His blue eyes widened, and he stared at her in stunned silence.
"I love you, Gavril MacIliac."
When he smiled, his face blazed with love. He tossed his head back and shouted his joy to the sky. The last of the MacCain died in the Vale of Tuluth, December 14, 1515. Chapter 34.
"They're coming, Hawk!"
Adrian sped into the great hall, where Hawk, Lydia, and Tavis were busy decorating for the wedding. As the ceremony was being held on Christmas Day, they'd combined the customary decorations with the gaily colored greens and reds of the season. Exquisite wreaths fashioned of pine cones and dried berries had been decorated with brilliant velvet bows and shimmering ribbons. The finest tapestries adorned the walls, including one Adrian had helped to weave over the past year, that featured a nativity scene with a radiant Madonna cradling the infant Jesus while proud Joseph and the Magi looked on. Today the hall was clear of rushes, the stones scoured to a spotless gray. Later, only moments before the wedding, they would strew dried rose petals across the stones to release a springy floral aroma into the air. Sprigs of mistletoe dangled from every beam, and Adrian eyed the foliage, peering up at Hawk, who stood on a ladder, fastening a wreath to the wall.
"What are those lovely sprigs you've hung, Hawk?"
Adrian asked, the picture of innocence. Hawk glanced down at her.
"Mistletoe. It's a Christmas tradition."
"How is it associated with Christmas?"
"The legends say the Scandinavian god of peace, Baldur, was slain by an arrow fashioned of mistletoe. The other gods and goddesses loved Baldur so greatly, they begged his life be restored, and mistletoe be endowed with special meaning."
"What kind of special meaning?"
Adrian blinked expectantly up at him. Hawk slid swiftly down the ladder, happy to demonstrate. He kissed her so passionately that the embers of desire, always at a steady burn around her husband, roared into flame.
"One who passes beneath the mistletoe must be kissed thoroughly."
"Hmm, I like this tradition. But what happened to poor Baldur?"
Hawk grinned and planted another kiss on her lips.
"Baldur was returned to life, and the care of mistletoe was bequeathed to the goddess of love. Each time a kiss is given beneath mistletoe, love and peace gain a stronger foothold in the world of mortals."
"How lovely!"
Adrian exclaimed. Her eyes sparkled mischievously.
"So, essentially, the more I kiss you under this branch," she pointed up, "the more good I'm doing the world. One might say I'm helping all of humankind, doing my duty."
"Your duty?"
Hawk arched a brow. Lydia laughed and tugged Tavis beneath the branch as well.
"It sounds like a good idea to me, Adrian. Maybe if we kiss them enough, we'll lay all this silly feuding in this land to rest."
The next few minutes belonged to lovers, until the door burst open and a guard announced the arrival of their guests. Adrian's gaze darted about the great hall as she fretted over anything that might be yet undone. She wanted everything to be perfect for Grimm's bride.
"How do I say it again?"
she asked Lydia frantically. She'd been trying to perfect her Gaelic so she could greet them with a proper Merry Christmas.
"Nolig Creel,"
Lydia repeated slowly. Adrian repeated it several times, then linked her arm through Hawk's and smiled beatifically.
"My wish came true, Hawk,"
she said smugly.
"What was that blasted wish, anyway?"
Hawk said, disgruntled.
"That Grim Roderick find the woman who would heal his heart, as you healed mine, my love."
Adrian would never call a man radiant. It seemed a feminine word. But when her husband gazed down at her with his eyes glowing so lovingly, she whispered a fervent thank you in the direction of the nativity scene. Then she added a silent benediction for any and all other beings responsible for the events that had carried her across 500 years to find him. Scotland was a magical place, rich in legends, and Adrian embraced them because the underlying themes were universal. Love endured, and it could heal all. It was a traditional wedding, if such could be, between a woman and a man of legend, a berserker no less, with two more of the epic warriors in attendance. The women fussed, and the men shared toasts. At the last minute, Gibraltar and Elizabeth St. Clair arrived. They had ridden like the devil the moment they'd received the message that Gillian was to be wed at Dalkeith upon the sea. Gillian was elated to see her parents. Elizabeth and Adrian helped her dress, while they resolved that both Dawes should escort the bride to the groom's side. Ronan had already been solicited for the honor, but Elizabeth maintained that Gibraltar would never recover if he weren't allowed to escort her too. Yes, she knew that Gillian hadn't expected them to be able to make it in time, but they had, and that was the end of it. The bride and groom didn't see one another until the moment Gibraltar and Ronan escorted Gillian down the elaborate staircase into the Great Hall, after a long pause at the top that permitted all and sundry to exclaim over the radiant bride. Gillian's heart was thundering as her two Dahs lifted her hands from their forearms and tucked her arm through the elbow of the man who was to be her husband. Grimm looked magnificent, clad in ceremonial tartan, his black hair neatly queued. Gillian didn't miss it when Ronan's gaze flickered over the plaid. He looked momentarily astonished, then elated, for Grimm had donned the full dress of the MacIlliac for his wedding day. She hadn't thought the day could be any more perfect until the priest began the ceremony. After what seemed like years of traditional benedictions and prayers, he moved on to the vows.
"Do you, Grimm Roderick, promise?"
Grimm's deep voice interrupted him. Pride underscored each word.
"My name is Gavril."
He took a deep breath, then continued, enunciating his name clearly. "Gavril Roderick Icarus MacIlliac." Chills swept up her spine. Tears misted Ronan's eyes, and the hall fell silent for a moment. Hawk grinned at Adrian, and far in the back of the hall, where few had as yet seen him, Quinn de Moncrief nodded, satisfied. At long last, Grimm Roderick was at peace with who and what he was.
"Do you, Gavril Roderick?"
"I do."
Gillian nudged him. He arched a brow and frowned.
"Well, I do. Must we go through all this? I do, I swear. A man has never I-do'd more fervently than I. I just want to be married to you, lass."
Ronan and Balder exchanged amused glances. Keeping them apart had certainly heightened Gavriel's enthusiasm for the matrimonial bonds. Guests tittered, and Gillian smiled.
"Let the priest have his turn, because I would like to hear you say it all, especially the loving and cherishing me part."
"Oh, I'll love and ravish you, lass,"
Gavril said close to her ear.
"Cherish and behave,"
she teasingly swatted at him and nodded encouragingly to the priest.
"Do continue."
And so they were wed. Kaylee Twillow jostled for room, rising to her toes and peering over heads anxiously. Her precious Gillian was getting married, and she couldn't see a dratted thing. It just wouldn't do.
"Watch where you're poking,"
an irate guest barked as she strategically jabbed her elbow in a few tender spots to squeeze past.
"Wait your turn to greet the bride,"
another one complained when she stepped on his toes.
"I practically raised the wee bride, and I'll be damned if I'm sitting in back, unable to see, so move your arse,"
she glowered. A small path appeared as they reluctantly permitted her passage. Wedging her ample bosom and hips between a cluster of guards created a small furor as dozens of men eyed the shapely woman with interest. Finally, she pushed through, crested the last wave of guests, and surfaced beside a man whose handsome height and girth took her breath away. His thick black hair was streaked with silver, revealing his mature years, which, in her experience, meant mature passion. She peered coquettishly at the black-haired man from the corner of her eye, then turned her head to savor him fully.
"My, my! And just who might you be?"
She fluttered her long lashes admiringly. Balder's ice-blue eyes crinkled with pleasure as he beheld the voluptuous woman who was obviously delighted to see him.
"The man who's been waiting for you all his life, lass," he said huskily.
The wedding celebration began the moment the vows had been exchanged. Gillian longed to slip off with her husband the instant the ceremony ended. With Balder and Ronan strictly monitoring her time with Gavril for the past 2 weeks, they'd been able to spend no time alone at all. But she didn't wish to hurt Adrian's feelings, when she had obviously taken great care to ensure Gillian's wedding day was the stuff of dreams, so she dutifully lingered and greeted and smiled. The moment she and Gavril had sealed their union with a kiss, she'd been snatched from his lips, tugged in one direction by the joyous crowd and able to do nothing but watch helplessly as her husband was dragged in the other. They were married, the older and wiser had counseled, and they would have plenty of time to spend with each other. Jillian had rolled her eyes and pasted a smile on her face, accepting congratulations. Finally, the flatbread was broken and the feasting commenced, drawing attention away from the newlyweds. Adrian helped Jillian slip out of the hall, but instead of showing her to their chambers as she'd expected, the stunning, unusual woman had led her to Dalkeith's study. The light from oil globes and dozens of candles coupled with a cheery fire made the room a welcoming and warm haven, despite the banks of fluffy white snow drifting outside the windows.
"It looks like we may get a real doozy."
Adrian eyed the drifts as she bustled about, poking up the fire. Jillian blinked.
"A what? Doozy? Oh."
Adrian paused, then laughed.
"A big storm. You know, we might get snowed in for a time." "You're not from this part of the country, are you?"
Jillian frowned, trying to place her strange accent. Again, her hostess laughed.
"Not quite."
She beckoned Jillian to join her before the fire.
"Just tell me, are those two of the hunkiest men you've ever laid eyes on?"
Adrian eyed a picture above the hewn oak mantel and sighed dreamily. Jillian followed her hostess's gaze upward to a beautifully rendered portrait of Gavril and the hawk.
"Oh my! I don't know what hunkiest means, but they certainly are the most handsome men I've ever seen." "That's it,"
Adrian agreed.
"Do you know they complained the entire time this was being painted? Men."
She rolled her eyes and gestured at the painting.
"How could they blame a woman for wanting to immortalize such raw, masculine splendor?"
The women spoke quietly for a time, unaware Hawk and Gavril had entered the study behind them. Gavril's eyes lingered on his wife, and he started to move forward, determined to claim her before someone else dragged him off.
"Relax."
Hawk placed a restraining hand on his sleeve. Enough distance separated the men from their wives that the women hadn't heard them yet, but Adrian's voice carried clearly.
"It was all that fairy's fault. He dragged me back through time. Not that I'm complaining a bit, mind you. I love it here, and I adore my husband. But I'm originally from the 20th century."
Both men grinned when Jillian did a double take.
500 years from now?"
she exclaimed. Adrian nodded, her eyes dancing. Jillian studied her intently, then leaned closer.
"My husband's a berserker,"
she confided.
"I know. He told us right before he left for Caithness, but I didn't get a chance to ask him any questions. Can he change shapes?"
Adrian looked as if she were about to reach for paper and ink and start scribbling notes.
"In the 20th century, there's a great deal of dispute over just what they were and what they were capable of."
Adrian paused as she became aware of the two men standing in the doorway. Her eyes twinkled mischievously, and she winked at her husband.
"However, there was a general consensus on one thing, Jillian."
She smiled impishly.
"It was commonly held that berserkers were known for their legendary stamina, both in battle and in the
"We get the point, Adrian,"
Hawk cut her off, his black eyes sparkling with amusement.
"Now, perhaps we should let Gavril show her the rest himself."
Gavril and Jillian's chambers were on the third floor of Dalkeith. Adrian and Hawk escorted them, dropping not-so-subtle hints that the newlyweds could make as much noise as they wished. With the intervening floors, the revelers below would be none the wiser. When the door closed behind them, and they were finally alone, Gavril and Jillian gazed at each other across the downy expanse of a wide mahogany bed. A fire leapt and crackled in the hearth, while fluffy snowflakes fell beyond the window. Grim regarded her tenderly, and his eyes slipped down, as they frequently done lately, to the scarcely noticeable swell of her abdomen. Jillian caught the possessive glance and gave him a dazzling smile. Ever since the night of the attack, when she'd told him they were going to have a baby, she'd caught him smiling at odd times with little or no provocation. It delighted her. his intense delight about the baby growing inside her. When she'd told him, after they'd returned from the caves to Maldaban, he'd sat blinking and shaking his head as if he couldn't believe it was true. When she'd cradled his face in her hands and drawn his head close to kiss him, she'd been stunned by the glimpse of moisture in his eyes. Her husband was the best of men, strong yet sensitive, capable yet vulnerable, and how she loved him. As she watched him now, his eyes darkened with desire, and anticipation shivered through her.
"Adrian said we might get snowed in for a while,"
Gillian said breathlessly, feeling suddenly awkward. Being chaperoned these past weeks had nearly driven her crazy. To compensate, she'd tried to push her unruly, steamy thoughts into a secluded corner of her mind. Now they resisted their confines, broke free, and demanded attention. She wanted her husband now.
"Good. I hope it snows a dozen feet."
Gavril moved around the bed. All he wanted to do was bury himself inside her, reassure himself that she was indeed his. This day had been the culmination of all his dreams. He was married to Gillian St. Clair. Gazing down at her, he marveled at how much she had changed his life. He had a home, a clan, and a father. The wife he'd always dreamed of, a precious child on the way, and a bright future. He, who had always felt like an outcast, now belonged, and he owed it all to Gillian. He came to a stop inches from her and flashed a lazy, sensual smile.
"I don't suppose you have any noises you'd like to be making while we're snowbound. I'd hate to disappoint our hosts."
Gillian's awkwardness melted away in a flash. Skirting all niceties, she slipped her hand up his muscular thigh and tugged his plaid away from his body. Her fingers flew over the buttons of his shirt, and within moments he stood before her as nature had fashioned him, a mighty warrior with hard angles and muscled planes. Her gaze dropped lower and fixed upon what must have surely been nature's most generous boon. She wet her lip, a wordless gesture of desire, unaware of the effect it had on him. Gavril groaned and reached for her. Gillian slipped into his arms, wrapped her hand around his thick shaft, and nearly purred with delight. His eyes flared, then narrowed as he moved with the grace and power of a mountain cat, dragging her down onto the bed. A rough sigh escaped him.
"Ah, I missed you, lass. I thought I was going to go crazy from wanting you. Baldur wouldn't even let me kiss you."
Gavril worked swiftly at the tiny buttons on her wedding gown. When she tightened her fingers around him, he quickly secured her hands, trapping them with one of his.
"I can't think when you do that, lass."
"I didn't ask you to think, my big brawny warrior," she teased. "I have other uses for you."
He tossed her an arrogant look that clearly warned her he was in charge for the moment. With her distracting hands temporarily restrained, he lingered over her buttons, tracing kisses over each inch of skin as it was revealed. When his lips returned to hers, he kissed her with a savage intensity. Their tongues met, retreated, then met again. He tasted of brandy and cinnamon. Gillian followed his tongue, caught it with her own, and drew it into her mouth. When he stretched full length on top of her, muscled body to silken skin, her softness accommodating his hardness in perfect symmetry, she sighed her pleasure.
"Please," she begged,
shifting her body enticingly beneath him.
"Please what, Gillian? What would you like me to do? Tell me exactly, lass."
His heavy-lidded eyes glittered with interest.
"I want you to..."
She gestured. He nibbled her lower lip, drew back, and blinked innocently.
"I'm afraid I do not understand. What was that?"
"Here,"
she gestured again.
"Say it, Gillian," he whispered huskily. "Tell me. I am yours to command, but I follow only very explicit instructions."
The wicked grin he flashed loosened the last of her restraints, leaving her free to indulge in a bit of wickedness of her own. So she told him, the man who was her own private legend, and he fulfilled her every secret desire, tasting and touching and pleasing her. He worshipped her body with his passion, celebrated their child in her womb with gentle kisses, kisses that lost their gentleness and became hot and hungry against her hips and blazed into flowing heat between her thighs. Plunging her hands into his thick, dark hair, she rose up against him, crying his name over and over.
Gavril!
And after she'd run out of demands, or simply had been sated beyond coherent thought, he knelt on the bed, pulled her astride him, and wrapped her long legs around his waist. Her nails scored his back as he lowered her onto his hard shaft, one exquisite inch at a time.
"You can't harm the baby, Gavril,"
she assured him, panting softly as he held her away, giving her but a tiny taste of what she so desperately wanted.
"I'm not worried about that," he assured her.
"Then why are you going so slow?"
"To watch your face," he said with a lazy smile. "I love to watch your eyes when we make love. I see every bit of pleasure, every ounce of desire reflected in them."
"They'll look even better if you'll just—"
She pushed against him with her hips, and laughing, he held her away with his strong hands on her waist. Jillian nearly wailed.
"Please!"
But he took his sweet time. And how sweet it was, until she thought she could no longer bear it. Then abruptly, he buried himself deep within her.
"I love you, Jillian McKilliak."
His accompanying smile was uninhibited, his white teeth flashing against his dark face. She laid a finger to his lips.
"I know,"
she assured him.
"But I wanted to say the words."
He caught her finger between his lips and kissed it.
"I see,"
she teased.
"You get to say all the love words, while I have to say all the body ones."
He made a rumble low in his throat.
"I love it when you tell me what you want me to do to you."
"Then do this."
Her low rush of words dissolved into a satisfied cry as he fulfilled her demand. Hours later, her last conscious thought was that she should not forget to mention to Adrian that the general consensus about berserkers could not even begin to touch the reality. Epilogue.
"I do not understand it," Ronan said, watching the lads.
He shook his head.
"It's never happened before."
"I do not either, da. But something is different about me from any of the McKilliak males before. Either that, or there's something different about Jillian. Perhaps it's both of us."
"How do you keep up with them?"
Gavril laughed, a rich sound.
"Between Jillian and me, we manage.
But with them being, you know, the way they are so young, aren't they constantly getting into mischief?
Not to mention impossibly high places.
They're forever pulling off incredible feats, and if you ask me, they're just a little too damned smart for anyone's good. It's almost more than any one berserker could be expected to keep up with. That's why I think it would be useful to have their granda around too,"
Gavril said pointedly. The flush of pleasure on Ronan's cheeks was unmistakable.
"You mean you want me to stay here with you and Jillian?"
"Maldaban is home, da. I know you felt Jillian and I needed the privacy of newlyweds, but we wish you would come home for good. Both you and Baldur, the lads need their great-uncle too. Remember, we McKilliak are the stuff of legends, and how will they come to understand the legends without the finest of our berserkers to teach them? Quit visiting all those people you've been dropping in on and come home."
Gavril studied him out of the corner of his eyes, and knew Ronan would not leave Maldaban again. The thought gave him great satisfaction. His sons should know their granda, not merely as an intermittent visitor, but as a steady influence. In a contented silence that bordered on awe, Gavril and Ronan watched the three young boys playing on the lawn. When Jillian stepped out into the sunshine, her sons looked up as one, as if they could sense her presence. They stopped playing and ranged in around their mother, vying for attention.
"Now, there's a beautiful sight," Ronan said reverently.
"Aye," Gavril agreed.
Jillian laughed as she tousled the heads of her three young sons and smiled into three pairs of ice-blue eyes. A Norse Legend, The Twilight of the Gods. Legend tells that Ragnarok, the final battle of the gods, will herald the end of the world. Destruction will rage in the kingdom of the gods. In the last battle, Odin will be devoured by a wolf, the earth will be destroyed by fire, and the universe will sink into the sea. Legend holds that this final destruction will be followed by rebirth. The earth will reemerge from the water, lush and teeming with new life. It is prophesied the sons of the dead Aesir will return to Asgard, the home of the gods, and reign again. In the mountains of Scotland, the Circle Elders say Odin doesn't believe in taking any chances, that he schemes to defy fate by breeding his warrior race of berserkers into the Scottish bloodlines, deeply hidden. There they await the twilight of the gods, at which time he will summon them to fight for him once more. Legend tells that there are berserkers walking among us, even still. We hope that you have enjoyed our presentation of To Tame a Highland Warrior by Karen Marie Monning. Copyright 1999 by Karen Marie Monning. Read by Phil Giganti. Directed by Laura Grafton. Engineered by Corey Young. Performance copyright 2007, Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number: 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliantaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.